We are on, and guess who's going to be on with us a little bit later on today? Arthur Blank.
That's right, you nitwits. I'm going to get you free wieners. Free wieners for everyone. I said you put me and induct me into the Falcons Hall of Fame. It's a hot dog palooza. So everybody loads up and chips
that's
and a collector's cup with my face on it.
Get as many as you want. By the way, Arthur's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. And if you don't get what we're going with this and what we're talking about, he is going into the Ring of Honor. And to Mike's point, yesterday we started talking about this, and literally we're up at Flowery Branch, and folks ran in during a break, and they were like, "Hold on, we got to make sure this is correct." And we were like, "What are you talking about?"
Because we had said that it's basically limit two per customer.
Yes,
and that's what I was under the impression. No, it's limit two per customer per trip to the concession stand. So once you get your two wieners, and again, some of you gluttons are going to abuse this privilege. You'll basically, this will be your production line. You will take the two hot dogs, just get on the line again. And by the time you shove those tube steaks in your pie hole, you'll be ready for two more.
Two more, yeah.
And that's how it's going to work.
So you could have, if you wanted to.
Right.
Two. You could have six. You could have eight. You could have ten.
I mean, hypothetically.
How much ever you want to get in line.
It's just a matter of how much of the game you want to miss standing on line for hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Sunday Night Football.
I can't miss the game like that. I mean, I love Arthur. Right. I want to get my two dogs.
Right.
But I cannot get in line.
But as you know, Carl and Mike, best concessions. We got the best stadium.
Best prices.
And I'm 81. Can we win a Super Bowl in my frigging lifetime here, please?
Wouldn't that be great if we had him say that today? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I mean, we got Kirk Cousins. I love Raheem Morris, the job he's doing. Matter of fact, I can see the whole interview right now. And hopefully we're going to win one before I shuffle off this mortal coil.
Exactly.
I'm Arthur Blank, and I approve this message.
Maybe today he says that. But he's going to join us at 5, and we'll ask him also some football-related things. But it is incredible to be able to honor him in this way. And again, he's a humble guy, but he knows what he's meant to the city and, Mike, how much he's given back to the city. So that's going to happen in the 5 o'clock hour. Raheem Morris is on the way in less than 20 minutes. Also, we will get to Yeah Man, No Man. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We invite you guys to come on through. If you can't today, that's fine. Come through tomorrow. We're not going to be here. We'll be at the other location up in Kennesaw tomorrow.
Yeah, man, Busby Parkway off of Barrett Parkway. So come on, man, get up. I mean, you know what the traffic's like. So just get off of 75 and just have some fun. Ice cold beer, Hey Man on draft. And the great food and the lovely servers. So we'll have some fun up there.
All right. As we mentioned, more Falcon conversation as we get ready for the Chiefs. We're going to dive in a little bit later. Talk about the O-lines because I think these are going to be two key areas for both teams. But before we get to that, let's get to an NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Mike, you said, why didn't he just fire him? We're talking about Mike McCarthy. By the way, Cowboys have the Ravens this weekend. Somebody's got to lose, and there's a chance that the Cowboys lose again at home. I think the Ravens have a real shot to go in there and beat them, especially the way the Saints did them last week.
Hey, the Ravens are looking at 0-3, man. Dallas would go to 1-2 with a loss, but, I mean, who had it on their bingo card, the Ravens starting the season 0-3?
Nobody. Here's Jerry Jones. He says, Mike, we've been good in the season, but not in the playoffs.
We're trying to get this team ready and in place to really make a run at the playoff on any given Sunday. You can have a bad day in the NFL, and you can certainly lose a ball game in the NFL. And the NFL is one that you can lose several games. And if you're playing well at the end of the year, you can win the Super Bowl. And so that's just what we've got. If we've got anything that albatross around our neck is that we've been a good to very good team during the season over the last 4 or 5 years with Mike, and we haven't done well in the playoff. So let's trade some challenges during the season for doing well in the playoff, if you want to look at it that way.
He's saying, I'll take a mediocre season, playoff, 9-10 wins, whatever, Mike, to get you in.
Eli Manning, New York Giants.
Yes, but win a Super Bowl versus winning 12 games the last 3 years and coming up short.
Get hot at the right time. Do you realize, since they last won the Super Bowl, which is back in 1995, the Cowboys have never made it to the NFC Conference Championship?
3 years of divisional losses, first round, in and out these last 3 years.
I mean, I'm looking at, like, wild card, divisional, wild card. I mean, it just, to me, it's amazing when you think about, you know, there's, you know, we have a salary cap and the league functions because everybody's got to pay up to about 89% of it. But no one's got more resources than Jerry Jones with the star and everything else and all the ancillary income. It is the richest franchise in the NFL. But he hasn't won a championship since Clinton was in the White House. So it's a matter of clutch. I think he holds on to his coaches too long. The Dak thing. I mean, the whole way this Dak soap opera played out was ridiculous.
It was.
Why don't you just you know what you're going to pay him. It's going to reset the market. Why would you do the – by the way, you're up in a hotel room up in Milwaukee getting ready for Lambeau. You got the wherever it was, Cleveland. They were in Cleveland to play the Browns.
Yep.
It's like, why didn't you just do a nice big deal at this star? And then, Jerry, you get to talk for another hour, which you love to do, and talk in a circle make no sense.
Let's hear from Mike McDaniel, because everybody's wondering what's going to happen with Tua and his situation. McDaniel's the head coach of the Dolphins, and he said he doesn't second-guess Tua being on the IR.
I've worked very hard to earn his respect and regard, and he does everything that – you'd want in a teammate, and I don't think he's for a second guessing or understanding the weight of whatever.
I just don't understand how he made the contact. You know, we talked about this at length.
You talking about the tackle?
He ran right into Damar Hamlin. Yeah. I mean, he just runs into him. And the only way he could hurt himself was the way he got hit. And it was really, there was nothing malicious in the hit. There's nothing violent. And that's one thing that's so funny. It wasn't like a headhunting hit.
No.
He just literally ran into the guy's forearm.
But doesn't that scare you even more? Because you and I both know that, to your point, that wasn't him in the pocket and somebody coming on his blind side.
Right.
Right? Which we know, guys are not intentionally trying to hurt you, but I got to get you down. This was just one of those freak things. And it's like, if this can happen, what happens when you take a real legitimate shot?
Right. And it was the biggest story after 21. 22, he stays clean. Or 23, I should say, he stays clean. Nobody talks about it. The concussion then kind of goes away. Now it was the big debate about the contract. Will you or won't you? They do. And now you find yourself at the crossroads that they were dreading. But it's just weird that of all the things he could have slid and got the first down. He could have dove to his left or his right to avoid the contact.
Sure.
And he would have been touched down. It's so crazy. In the heat of the battle, he's still fighting for yards. He went right into the defender. Either way, week 8, he'll be back. Of all the teams, that if they were going to shop Bryce Young, which their coach Canales, of course, denies, you said it yesterday, great idea. Dolphins make the most sense.
It does. Just a backup.
Yeah.
It gives you backup. And by the way, the reason why it makes so much sense is because Bryce isn't still in his rookie deal. Bryce didn't get the deal yet that Tua got. So it makes sense from a financial standpoint. Here is Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins, talking about IR. What is the timetable, Mike? He's not willing to say.
The great thing about IR is there's – for a month time, there's no timelines. If you set a timeline based upon the information you have today, how much of whatever goes on is fulfilling the prophecy of that timeline? Especially with competitors, and sometimes you can do more harm than good. Regardless, not worrying about anything is very empowering for him as a human being.
Yeah, I don't know where this goes, guys. I'd love to tell you Tua's going to be back in 4 weeks, and he's talked to neurologists, and they've said, hey, you're fine. It's just one of those things, and you'll be okay. I don't believe that's what's going to take
place. But again, if you wear the protective sleeve cover now, which some guys are wearing on the helmet, the doctors feel that mitigates anything? You know, I don't know.
An extra inch of padding?
That's
Mike?
Just it. I mean, we've seen it at practice, and you know, everybody's wearing them unless you've got one of the new approved helmets. And I think Caleb McGarry is one of the guys. That's why if you were at practices, you didn't see him wearing one. Only one other guy's wearing it, so I think it's Taylor. I don't know. And there are some ways that the Dolphins could screw him out of some of that money. I mean, I know that's the worst case scenario that Florio wrote about in Pro Football Talk, but he said apparently he wants to keep playing.
Okay, what's the reputation right now of Caleb Williams? Has he been in the league long enough, or has some of this stuff from college followed him? What do you think it is?
You know, we talked about this yesterday. If you didn't see it, he loses the game. And so C.J. Stroud, who was a year ahead, obviously, and you said the parents are kind of friendly with each other.
Yeah.
And he basically gives him some advice. Hey, man, don't listen to the outside noise and just believe in yourself and just positivity. And basically, he's just kind of blowing him off. Like, yeah, okay, gotcha, right, yeah, whatever. You know, and that's fine because I said this yesterday. He's having a bad day. He lost. He's in his feels, and maybe he'll look back and say, yes, I should have stood there like a grown-up, shook his hand, dap him up. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Bye-bye. But he didn't. And the problem is, just like with Dion, there are people, and it started at USC, and these are the writers that just have their agenda. Oh, he's got black nail polish. Oh, he's carrying a man purse. Well, Joe Burrow wears goofy stuff. No one's talking about him. That's
correct.
Right.
Correct.
Because, I mean, and this is where, you know, the African-American quarterback – There's certain agendas at play. When he does things outside the box that he gets heat for that a white quarterback doesn't. Because Joe Burrow, he went to that fashion show in Paris, looked like a jackass wearing a suit with no back. And, you know, but this guy wears a man purse, which some guys do.
Do, yeah.
And guys are giving him crap. Now, I think it looks silly, but that's his prerogative.
Here's C.J. Stroud on the post-game interaction with Caleb Williams, what we're talking about.
I was trying to, like, little bro him or nothing. He knows that, too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I respect for him. But I had so many guys coming to me after games last year. And that meant the world to me that those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to get back to what the game is getting to me. So I wish him the best, man. I want him to do amazing in this league. I think he will. I think that he'll get his groove. And once you get your rhythm, I didn't get my rhythm until like week three, week four. So I can see his game picking up from here. And you know, I don't think he was trying to like, you know, be any towards where he just upset that they lost. I totally understand. So I have a ton of respect for that guy, man. I want him to do extremely well, just like any other guy until we play on that day. You know what I mean? And after the game, we can be cool. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely, you know, rooting for him and want to see him do extremely well.
I am glad that he explained it that way. He said, I didn't get my rhythm to like week three or four.
Right.
But he said, look, I understand why he reacted that way. I'm not mad at him. That's C.J. Stroud. He explained that perfectly, Mike. And keep it moving. And you know, I would love to have, if I was a quarterback in the league, especially as a rookie, Mike, to have some mentors or guys that have done it, seen it, that want to help me out. It's Dukes and Bell. It is our NFL Blitz. One other thing I do want to get to, Mike, and this gets us back to us. This is Travis Kelce talking about how to deal with being mediocre. I don't know if he's been mediocre. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not been, you know, he's not gotten off to the start that he wants to get off to. We will see him Sunday. This is Kelce.
There's a lot of things that have to go right for anybody to get the ball. You know, it's just for whatever reason, these past two games, it hasn't gone that way for me. And that's football, man. I'm not about to sit here and get frustrated about it. I used to get really, really pissed off and almost lose my cool a lot of the time from not having that success, knowing I demand that out of myself. And it's tough for me to deal with being mediocre.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he's mediocre. I just think the way the game plans have gone,
right,
he's not been able to do the Travis Kelce things that we expect him, but I don't want him to do that Sunday either.
Well, that's, again, I don't want to see him get that explosion against us. But, yeah, we kind of outlined it. They talked about it on the broadcast on NBC. Tirico brought it up, that the way the scheme was working, he was kind of clearing things out. He was drawing the extra coverage. They were bracketing him, and that's why the other tight end had all the receiving yards.
Sure, sure. Hey, coming up, you'll hear our conversation with Raheem Morris, the head football coach of our Atlanta Falcons, as we get ready for Sunday's matchup with the Chiefs. We're live at Twin Peaks. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. What did Ross say to us? Hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
But enough about that, because the man who just gave us one of the most electrifying wins in franchise history has just walked into our Ticketmaster studios. Go draw!
I wouldn't say I gave you the I'd say it was a really good team effort, and it was a really good example of standing in a fight.
You did a wonderful job. We're excited about it. Rob, let's get down to business, man, because I thought the defense really stepped up. And listen, I'm looking at this, two touchdowns in the last eight quarters. We can talk about all this other stuff. People talk about yards. I said, I'm not concerned with that. I want to stop people from getting in the end zone. Teams are kicking field goals. Let's talk about the defense and where you're at. What's the message and philosophy that you and Jimmy and the company are preaching up here?
You know, it's kind of like we talked about in the beginning. When we got here, we looked at the team, and you had so many players that people wasn't giving enough credit to, in our opinion. And those guys are playing well, and they're playing fast, and they're playing physical, and they're playing the right way. And you know, you always want to cut down your yards. You always want to get more turnovers. You always want to do these things. But it's a process during the season of getting better and better. And I feel this defense getting better even since I've been here. Even with the additions of Simmons, the additions of Judon, these guys have been ready to play. The rotation that we got, we got a bunch of people rotating in there and playing and contributing. And I've been really proud of the effort and the consistency that they've been in to play with throughout the season.
You know, we talk so much about big moments in games when it's that fourth down and four on the other side of the 50. Give me the timeline, because obviously you want to lean on Zach Robinson to come up with a play that's going to get you that first down. You seemed like it was super decisive. You were going for it.
Our coaches do a great job. And, you know, Tim Berbenick, who's a part of our situational masters, along with our chief of operations,
yes,
Steve Skarnecki, he has the ability to communicate me throughout the whole down, the distance. And Burb comes to me and talked about what we should be doing. We really want to be really aggressive at fourth and three.
Right.
Fourth and four came up. I said, let's be aggressive. Let's go for it. I was able to get it to Zach, communicate with him. He was clear. He was decisive. It was a calming moment for us all. We were able to get it. We progressed to the backside, hit Ray on a big play. And that's the confidence you got to have in your guys. And, like, if you can do some of those things and be able to talk to your people throughout the game, make those decisions, it makes it a lot easier on all of us if you can be decisive, if you can be fast, if you can be clear and concise and do all the things you want to do. And I thought that was really good by our guys.
End of game clock management, Coach. It's Raheem Morris, guys, with us here at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. We're getting ready for the Chiefs, and we'll certainly talk to him about that. Defense takes the penalty. I thought it was brilliant. And everybody's like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? It forced them to say, hey, we declined the penalty, but the clock stopped, and then we get the fortunate break where Saquon drops the rock, but we get the ball back with extra time. Talk about that decision to take the penalty.
So the idea is that they get it in first and 10, right? Mm-hmm. You are playing situational masters. You're playing the tush push, the people that invented it.
Right.
Third and one, the likelihood of them getting the clock running, you're going to have real issues. So you wanted to give them the first down. They obviously didn't take it. They declined it. They get the first down, and then you got three downs to stop them. They helped us out by throwing a pass that didn't get in a drop, but they really could have taken away another 30-some-odd seconds.
Correct.
In order for us not to get the ball. We got fortunate with the drop. You know, you want to play that a little bit better. I think Saquon and I think Taylor missed the same similar play against us in the Rams last year in the Giant game and got the ball on the ground, allowed us to give us a chance to go back and find a way to win that game. And we gave our guys just enough time, no timeout, situation that we've been able to practice on the grass here and practice and get some of those things done. And those guys went out there with a lot of confidence, and they were able to move down the field and get what we wanted to get done.
It is Coach Raheem Morris with us here, guys, live in the Ticketmaster Studios. And, Zach, you know, the Steeler game is a distant memory from what we did on Monday night. The confidence, though, it seems like in the two-minute drill, Cousins just got in such a rhythm. And the receivers, we talked about it with Darnell Mooney. Not that it came easy, but, man, it sure looked easy on TV.
You know, you never want to say a distant memory. Those are all learning experience. Wins, losses, all of that stuff, right? We'll learn something from this game. We'll get better from this game. But I think the guys, when you go out there, it's the process that you put in throughout the week. It's the mental preparation that you put in throughout the week. It's the confidence that's proof is about the coaches. The guys got more confident. They went out there and played fast, particularly in that 2 minute. Couldn't be more proud of the guys and how they were able to respond.
Raw, everybody talks about the big bad Chiefs. They are, five red zone attempts, two touchdowns. You know what we are? Five red zone attempts, two touchdowns. That's 40%. And we talk about stopping teams in the end zone. Patrick Mahomes comes in here. How are you viewing this? What are we looking at when you see the Chiefs right now?
I know it's always fun to play the comparison game.
Yeah.
It's a statistical game. Mm-hmm. But, like, for us as coaches, that's still Patrick Mahomes. That's Travis Kelce.
Sure.
That's the two-time defending champions, which right now they got to come play us, right? And it's got to be about us. It's got to be about us going out there and playing. And we got to go out there and play our game and figure out the best ways for us to have success and win. And each week may look a little different. So it may look a little different for us this week. It may look a little different for them this week. You just never know. So, like, the games are played for a reason, and it's not played based on what happened the weeks prior. It's all about the weeks that's coming in right now and the preparation and who's going to be able to come into this game feeling the best.
We had Matthew Judon on the show, got the Dukes of Bell bounce, and got that sack.
I mean, it happens.
The thing with the Hurts, it's so frustrating because it's just, you know, he just buys time. And it's, I thought the defense under the circumstances just did a hell of a job.
You know, Hurts is really irritating, and he's always going to be that way. You're talking about third down and longs or third and shorts or even fourth down and shorts. You know, he has the ability to get out of trouble, find a way to scramble and make those plays, and it is demoralizing. The first drive of the game, made a great tackle, open space with Troy on him. That was phenomenal. Later on, he came back to hurt us a couple times, made some really big-time plays with his legs, and you got to find ways to limit that as much as possible. Fortunately for us, we were able to limit it enough in order to go out there and get the win.
Dominant run game, Coach. I mean, if you're going to tell me we can get 150 every week, I'm down. I'm good with that.
You got to give a lot of credit to that offensive line, the coaching staff, you know, Dwayne Ledford, Nick Jones, Flats, and all the guys, man. Them guys getting the conservative effort. And then you got to have the cohesiveness to be able to contribute that stuff with Zach Robinson going out there calling it, committing to it, our two backs going out there executing that thing with our offensive line. And when you say the two backs, it was the rhythm and the routine that we talked about a week ago. Mm. You took the week off, but we talked about it a week ago. Going out there, getting Bijan going, getting Tyler in the game, getting that nice rhythm that they want to have, and we still don't have enough plays, right? Those are the learning moments can go. If you can get more plays, you get more runs like that. You get more yards. You get more time of possession. You find a way to win games in a soccer status.
The other thing is, as coaches, with us here, Coach Ra live on Dukes and Bell. We talked before you came in, the little things like Bijan chipping. You know, we talked about Pitts, Drake London in the run game. All the guys chipping in on the blocking.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it all plays with everybody, right? The offensive line get a lot of credit for the run game, but it's the receivers. You know, Drake London, you know, he got finisher of the week from the O-line because his ability to block on the perimeter and to be a part of it. You know, he was the sixth O-lineman this week, and he did it before he got a pass caught. You know, and it's like when you go out and you give that kind of effort, that's the stuff that makes teams. That's the stuff that gets you better. That's the stuff that builds culture. That's the stuff which your identity is made of. You know, you keep getting the question about identity. Drake showed it as opposed to me telling you about it.
What do we got to do Sunday night, Coach? Listen, Mike and I have been saying this. We're coming off of this emotional win from the fan, for the fan base standpoint. I know guys have to turn the page. Right. We're amped up. Everybody's amped up. Sunday night's going to be electric for us. Mike and I were just talking about, it's been a long time since we had a Sunday night football game. You know. What do we have to do going into this game against the defending champs and understanding, you know, right now we're pretty damn good against the pass. I think we're 10th in points allowed, 19 points a game. You know, a couple of weeks in, we look, there are certain areas that we feel really good about.
You know, you got to go out there and play to be the best version of yourself, right? So our job is to go out there and be the best version that we can be of ourselves. We got to go out there and execute our plan. We got to trust in our process, and our process has to deliver us the results that we want and need and deserve. And those things will all happen. Like our fan base, they will come in and support us, right? We got to give them reason to support us. We got to earn their trust. We got to earn their respect. And really for us, this is the whole building process of us going out there getting those things done. You want to be in games like this. You strive to be in games like this. This is what makes you tick. This is what we all give up watching on football at night.
Right. Yeah.
The next day, whether it's Monday, whether it's Sunday, now Thursdays, you know, football every day of the week. But when you got that prime time and all lights on you, that's a lot of fun for our fan base. That's a lot of fun for our city. That's a lot of fun for all of us. And we want to go out and perform at our own stadium.
And, Coach Ra, on a purely personal basis, we saw the video of you dapping up with Terry Fontenot because, I mean, it was such an emotional one. Fans, we couldn't sleep all night. And then to see a bunch of grown men, NFL professionals, looking like a high school locker room on a Friday night, that just it looks like the whole team just coming together, how special it was.
You know, I wasn't expecting it. I was about to go in there with this cool demeanor, tell the guys, let's get ready to move on, good win, you know, and really, you know, give your coach spiel, so to speak, for the guys. And when you walked in and the vibe just absolutely just because of the energy that the guys brought, and I just fell in line with those guys and just absolutely embraced the moment. And it was good because you got a chance to – it's so hard to win this league. You got to enjoy those moments, and the guys enjoyed it. And I wasn't going to take that away from them. Let's go ahead and enjoy that moment. Let's get ready to move on. It's just like I said that night, we talked about pivoting, persisting, and then being ready to deal. And it's no different from when you get a win than when you get a loss. The same things has to occur.
All I want to know is who the – is next. Who's next? That's what I want to know because that's what you said. Who's next?
You know, it's a mentality, right?
It is.
It's a mentality to move on, to be ready to deal for whoever, right? And it's not being disrespectful to whoever is next. It's about us putting ourselves in the mindset of going out there and being ready to play our best version of ourselves.
Sunday night, guys. That's Raheem Morris, head football coach for our Atlanta Falcons.
I like that. I think maybe think of like Mel Gibson as a Lethal Weapon 2. Who's blanking next?
Who's next? I love it because he put it in context in the locker room when he said to the guys, he said, this is what we expect to do.
Right.
My question is, who the blank is next? And everybody went nuts because it's true, man. Like, you go into these games, there's not a team in the league that goes into any of these games, guys, that goes, well, fellas, in 4 hours, we'll be losers.
Right.
There's not one team. And the Falcons didn't do that going into Philly, and they're not going to do it against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday.
No, and I just think, talking to our audiences here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, and just the vibe that we feel like, when Kirk Cousins, and you know that he's still working at being 100%, when he is at 100%, you saw that anything's – and I'm sounding like, you know, Kevin Garnett, anything's possible. But it just, you just feel like you're going to be in these games because we have addressed issues on defense. We've got a great run game. We've got skill position players. And Carl's got a delicious dessert that just got served here at Twin Peaks.
Oh, it's amazing. Hey, man, coming up, no man's on the way. Also,
what is that? You get the turnover?
Yeah.
With how many scoops of ice cream?
I have no idea. I'm just going to have one half a turnover.
You treat yourself? If you feel like you should treat yourself?
Today is the day. Today is the day.
Treat yourself to some awesomeness.
Yeah, I haven't had any of this stuff. I'm going to have one a little bit today. All right, No Man's coming up. Barbara Dooley, 4 o'clock, guys. Also, the owner of our football team, Mr. Arthur Blank.
Hot dogs for everyone.
Who's going into the Ring of Honor is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Big, big show. Stay right there. It's Dukes of Bell live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We are live at Twin Peaks. Buckhead location coming up. Barbara Dooley, the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley. We'll talk to her about what she saw last week at Kentucky. My guess is she didn't like any of it.
She did say, though, and again, she tried to talk me off the ledge. I took the dogs in the 22, laying the 22, and she said, nope, don't do it, even though obviously Kentucky looked like absolute against Carolina.
They did. They did. We'll get her thoughts on all the things that are happening around college football. Dogs off this week, we know that. Bama next week, a huge week for them. But before we get to all of that at 4 o'clock, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today? How are you, my man?
Doing well. Going to start with a little shameless self-promotion, but it's for a good cause. Come join me this Saturday from noon until 4.
Okay.
I will be at State Farm Arena hosting a show in honor of the Million Meal Pack.
Very nice.
At State Farm.
Nice.
And if you want to volunteer, just head over to statefarmarena.com. And we will be participating. We may have a special guest or two stop by, and I'll be doing the broadcast. Doors are at 7 a.m., so get up nice and early. No partying this Friday night, people.
Yeah.
And the event starts at 8 a.m.
That's awesome. You're going to be on for how long?
I'll be on from 12 to 4.
Okay. Good deal. And that's a great cause, by the way. They do a great job with that. So that is this Saturday. For more information, where can they go?
Is there a website?
StateFarmArena.com.
All right. Right? Awesome.
And you can sign up there. All right. If I asked you who Aaron Rosenberg is, do you know who that is?
Oh, he's a great CPA, and I worked with him a few years ago, Carl. He got me out of that trouble with the IRS.
Yes.
I'm not answering that.
Okay. So here's you see what had happened was.
Yes.
We know that Adrian Wojnarowski announced his retirement yesterday.
Yes.
And so one very clever person on the interwebs not only went viral, but went viral in a way that only in the likes of Hawk Tua Girl has gone recently.
By the way, how is she doing?
She's still living on her 15 minutes,
yeah,
man.
Is she? She has a podcast studio now.
And I'm just asking.
She's doing all this charity work for dogs. She's trying to do good with it.
All right, good.
Some people are sick of her. Well, a lot of people. But
I'm good.
Anyway.
Good.
Aaron,
somebody's daughter, Carl.
That's very true.
She did it. I didn't do it.
So on that thing. Aaron Rosenberg. So he decided to change his profile on Twitter to Aaron ESPN. He decided to make his banner the ESPN logo.
Uh-oh.
And his profile picture with the ESPN logo in the background.
Uh-oh.
Now, he's a very unassuming-looking guy.
Okay.
His profile has since been suspended, so
of course.
He can't go to it anymore.
Of course.
He said the following quote, "Adrian Wojnarowski has been the standard of breaking news at ESPN. I'm Aaron Rosenberg, and I'm honored to take over his role, continuing the high standard he set by delivering the latest and most accurate NBA news to fans worldwide. Excited for this new chapter."
Brilliant. And again, how many guys are you going to like fact check? Oh, we got this new guy? Yeah, I think I've seen Aaron Rosenberg on ESPN.
It's very funny.
That post,
of course not.
As of last check before his account got suspended, had garnered over 2 million views,
right.
10,000 likes, right. and 2,000 comments.
That's great.
But did he report any phony baloney stuff?
Yes.
I want to hear it.
He reported that Ben Simmons was being traded to the Golden State Warriors. And he had the same logo that Woj used to put, the breaking news banner, and everybody fell for it.
Yeah.
Well, and then Twitter, eventually Elon had to step in.
I blame Elon.
And they suspended
his
account.
Too funny.
That's great. But this is what you get, and it's fun in games, until it's not, when you have somebody reporting something that, we got to run with it. That's brilliant on his behalf, but I'm not surprised they suspended the account. My question is, does he have another account? Was this just something he created?
No, he was just a dude.
Okay.
And he created this fake, he changed his whole profile.
Gotcha.
But that was his account. He didn't specifically do it. Again, you can always get another account and a different name, but good for him, man. That's funny as hell.
Yeah, so that was what took the internet by storm.
I still can't believe that Woj is, dude, I'm, I get it. That's his school. He's going to be the GM. I mean, but it's like, if you'd gone to Duke, if you had gone to, you know, I don't know, UCLA. But I guess everybody can dream, and the Bonnies will maybe get to the big dance, and he'll be riding high. But that just want to, it's a godforsaken spot in Western New York to go live your life.
I think, Mike, and again, this is what I heard, that this was more just the grind.
Right.
The grind.
Just sick and tired of being 24/7, three phones, having to work everything, got to beat Shams Charania to everything.
This was, and he was before Shram. So, I mean, he was the guy that set the bar, but I just think that's more of this. And, Mike, maybe 2 years from now when it's where he is in that part of New York and it's peaceful, he wants to get back into the game. I don't know. But this was just about him being like, you know what, I don't have time for myself, my kids, my family. I just want to do something different.
Well, imagine being able to be in a position to leave a $20 million contract left on the table. Because that's what he left.
Wow.
He signed a $35 million contract, and he left 20 of it on the table.
You mentioned yesterday, who's the guy that you think would be the leading candidate to go in-house?
So there's a couple. So Shams is actually technically a free agent.
Yes.
We'll see if ESPN wants to pony up. Okay. The guy who would be a little cheaper but is almost as equally connected as Chris Haynes.
Okay.
He was with TNT. And he's really close to some of the players in the league, and he has some good sources as well. So we'll see what they got to replace him. So, they got Brian Windhorst still, but he's not that. Yeah, he's not that.
He came onto the scene, he was, but that's because he was connected to LeBron, and all the news was around LeBron. Right. Now that's getting ready to fade. I don't think Windhorst is breaking those kind of stories.
Well, they send him to Paris now to interview Wemby before he gets drafted.
That's true.
All right, you guys are going to like this one because it's a rare day that this happened. Actually, I don't know if it's ever happened before. ESPN on ESPN Crime.
Always entertaining.
It affected your boy, Stephen A. Smith.
Really? What happened?
Chris Canty, former New York Giants Super Bowl champion who does mornings on ESPN National Radio, took Stephen A. to task for his, quote, asinine take that Aaron Rodgers needs to be the Aaron Rodgers of old for the Jets to win. He said, Stephen A., for you to call him anything more than just a game manager is asinine. And he said Stephen A. was flat out wrong. Yeah, man, no man. You like somebody going after the big dog at the company.
Look, I mean, Stephen A., he's banked this, and he was a serious journalist for many, many years. And then as the role expands to TV and you play to the cameras, and Skip Bayless has made a fortune doing it, I just don't take anything Stephen A. takes seriously. It's just it's so affected. It's so over the top. And if you just watch TV, when I'm at the gym sometimes, Carl, and you just watch some of those morning shows with the volume off, it's like a pantomime. All you see are people just making like ridiculous facial expressions, and it's just silly. But, you know, but folks, obviously, you slap ESPN on it, people see it as what it, you know, they think that's all credible. So, yeah, I love it. I love when Stephen A. gets knocked a few pegs down.
Yeah, I listen, you know, he didn't call his mama a name.
Right.
He just basically said he was wrong, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, everybody trips out about people going after people. There's nothing wrong with that. He has his opinion on it, and I think Chris Canty, by the way, who is in that market in New York, knows what's going on. I have no issues with it. I love the fact that Chris Canty said it. A lot of people are fearful of saying anything and potentially disagreeing at this point because they feel like they might get kicked off a show or two.
Well, I was just about to say, you think Stephen A. went to Jimmy Pitaro this morning and was like, hey, Jimmy, we got to get this clown out of here, man. He can't be talking smack like that.
Let me tell you what Stephen's trying to do right now. Stephen's trying to get his $100 million. He could care less about Chris Canty going at him. And I'm just telling y'all, and I've been saying this, he's about to get his $100 million too. So for everybody that is like, oh, that's not going to happen, it's about to happen.
I just don't get it. When you look at the people that actually watch the actual ratings, it doesn't generate – I mean, I guess to the advertisers it does, but the ratings, the people that watch that morning show, it doesn't even add up to like a million people.
It's far less than a million people.
It's just crazy. To me, it's just disproportionate, but he is one of their bankable personalities.
Well, the one thing that they hang their hat on now, and the way that Steak and Sandra say journalism,
I think
we should start our own saying and call it digital, because everything is digital now. So they make their money off of, you go on YouTube and you post a 4-minute clip from a 2-hour show, and it gets 5 million views.
But he's like Shannon. He owns his own podcast. Yeah. The podcast does stupid numbers, and that's not something that we talk about when it comes to that show. But either way, have no issues with Chris Canty going at him.
I want to hear more. By the way, I'll save it for Guy Talk. Mel Kiper said some stuff today.
Yeah, it
was just
did.
Insane,
yeah.
Which is getting people – I just – put some stuff on social media to respond to. We'll talk about that later.
All right, Big O, we got to run. Barbara Dooley next. Hit my music.
Yeah, man. The Falcons taking on the Chiefs will be at Signia, guys. That's the big hotel, which is on Northside, right down between Falcons, for Mercedes-Benz, Home Depot backyard, and that brand-new hotel that got built. We'll be there, 1-4 at the Nest. It's on the fourth floor, Carl. So a special broadcast. Come by and see Dukes and Bell, man. Get off your tailgate. Come by, have a couple of cocktails with us.
Please do, because we're going to be amped up. I know it's early in the day, but Sunday I'm going to be amped up all day long. I cannot wait for this matchup. And I think, again, if we're able to handle business, I was just saying this to a couple of listeners that showed up, everybody's going to be looking at us a little bit different. We handle the Eagles 1 week, and the next week we turn around and come home and handle the Chiefs. People are going to be like, what's going on in Atlanta? Nothing. Maybe we're living up to what we thought we would be.
We talked about 2-2 in the first four. When you win a game that way and you see what we're capable of, I think maybe people say, why not 3-1, Carl? Why not?
All right, coming up, Barbara Dooley next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.